If you're just tuning in, this is Kenai Conversation, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. Our guests are Mitch Michaud, Eileen Bryson, and Will Morrow, and we're talking about foreign exchange programs. If you have questions, you can send them in at spoux@kdll.org. So something we've kind of alluded to a little bit is kind of the culture shock, or just the things that are new about coming here, as I imagine it would be going to any place that's not your home country. What seems to be the most jarring, or some of the most jarring things for kids when they come here, or what seem to be the kind of, you know, fault lines or things you might have to work through with kids? Are there anything that stand out in particular? Will, maybe let's start with you with this question.
I think the biggest thing students here notice is, especially if they're coming from Europe, is the lack of public transportation and the challenges it is to get around, just around town. I remember the first exchange student we hosted borrowed the bicycle and was riding down the spur highway, you know, the first week she was here. And we had many people calling saying, oh, you might want to talk to her about that.
Not wow. And where was she from?
Switzerland. So riding down the street in Switzerland, perfectly normal, regular, but spur highway, Kenai, maybe not. And this was actually before I think the Unity Trail was finished. It was just part done at that point. But yeah, I think the lack of, or the challenges with transportation, and kind of combine that with a lot of students from other parts of the world, by the time they're 16, 17, have a lot more independence than most American students do. So sort of coming to grips with that, I think, is kind of the biggest thing that we've experienced so far.
Sorry, really quickly, when you say they have more independence, how does that kind of manifest when they're here? What does that look like when there's those points of, I don't know how to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I guess as an example, the student that we had last year, wanted to go to Alyeska for a weekend and was just going to go. And we're like, no, there needs to be a responsible adult and who's driving, and, you know, someone's older sister driving is not acceptable, kind of thing. So just, you know, they're used to a little more independence where they can just go do something and not necessarily have the responsible adult around.
Eileen, what were you about to say?
I was going to say that lots of times they tell the parent, I'm doing this rather than making a request. And the fact that they need to check in with the parent, you know, where they are, if they're going to go somewhere else, all those things are kind of alien to them. They're not used to having to do that because of the independence. Students that come from other countries, Thailand and some of the sponsored program students, are not as independent as some of the European ones we found. And sometimes that's easier, because sometimes it's difficult when things aren't the way they expected them to be, especially if transportation is a big deal. And then they feel guilty because they don't want to ask the parents, and yet there's no way for them to go places too. So it's tricky. And then language gets involved. And sometimes, once again, some of the students come with somewhat limited language, and that is hard for them too, initially. Better than it used to be. Much, much better. They're much more fluent than they used to be coming in.
Mitch, how does it work for the college students? You mentioned that there's maybe cars that they can use.
Right, yeah. And the program, we have a lot of used cars here, and they're allowed to, they can use the regular driver's license. Our third party in New York realizes that there is no public transportation almost everywhere in the U.S., by the way, not just in Alaska. And so we arrange that there's a car, if the family has an extra car, because, you know, we all have more vehicles in our driveways than drivers sometimes. So or they buy a car. That's one of the things I do, is I help them go find a used car. But one of the things, so that overcomes, but you still have the issue of, what do you do with the car? And it's the lack of a nightlife here. The social in Europe, especially, there's a social activity, like evenings on weekends, you know, you go out
till six in the morning, maybe.
you go clubbing. And I remember Carol talking about, well, you know, I'd like to go out with my friends on Friday. And I said, okay, well, where are you going? I said, well, I don't know. And I said, when are you going to be back? I says, well, what time? I says, I'd like you back by 11. She goes, really? 11? And then she quickly realized that she was underage, so she couldn't go to any of the bars. this was with the AFS thing, and that there really wasn't anything to do in our community after like 11, 12 o'clock at night, unless you're going to a bar. The college students are over 21, and even they find that there is a significant lack of any nightlife and social activities after hours, and they compensate the same way that Eileen was right mentioning. They have a hobby. They tend to go to health clubs. They tend to do outdoor sports. But they adjust. They really adjust. I think yes, as I tell them, you will have plenty of time in your life to go out clubbing until 3 a.m. So you know. Sorry, we can't do it here.
I wonder what it's like living here and not being able to go clubbing till 3, 4, 5 a.m. and then going back and trying to do that. I imagine your internal clock would be screaming a little bit. Eileen, what were you going to say?
It's amazing how well the students adjust. You just have to give them kudos, Fred. They're wonderful. We had two students. Both were sponsored program, one from Indonesia and one from Lebanon, and there was no information at all about their thoughts about dogs. And both these students ended up with families that had dog teams. One of them was petrified of dogs. I went over to the family, and the dogs are wonderful. They were not from, helped her learn how to pet dogs so she would be right. When she went home, back to Lebanon, she convinced her family to get a dog. So they have a dog as a pet.
Oh,
and the
funny.
Other student was from Indonesia, and you know, she needed to wear gloves so she wouldn't have the saliva just because she was Muslim also. And she had, I think she had 40 dogs or something like that. And once again, she learned how to do the team and take them out. It was a wonderful experience for both of them. But can you imagine the adjustment that they had to do? It was just, and I think they all do that. They all have to adjust and change even their perceptions of what they think is going to happen. And they do such a good job. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Well, it's something I'm curious about too. And more so, I'm more so wondering about this for the high school, the kids who come for high school and the kids who go for high school. A big conversation this year among parents and teachers has been kind of on students' mental health in light of the pandemic. I think that's been really magnified. While students, of course, were struggling with mental health before, it's so noticeable now and it's become so much of in the forefront of people's minds as they're home with their kids. Or how is it for students and for coordinators dealing with maybe the normal ebbs and flows of high schoolers' mental health while they're away, or you know, while they're kind of in this new setting? Are there support systems in place for that? Is that something that comes up a lot? Or, you know, do kids seem to kind of deal with mental health differently when they're busy 24/7 in a new country and they don't really maybe have kind of the same sort of downtime that they might have here, if that makes sense? I guess I'm just wondering what does that look like for high schoolers who are dealing with these things, Eileen?
Well, AFS has always had a liaison for the students, and that was, I think the State Department now requires, but we've always had that. That is an adult that connects with a student. It has to be at least once a month, and they also have to connect with the family. So they have a kind of a dual role, and then check to make sure it's okay at the high school as well. So that's really a good sounding board for the students, so they had another person that they can interact with and help solve some of the problems that might crop up, you know, early on. Lots of times with the language, even though you think they are very fluent, sometimes they don't understand what's happening. And we do, like Will said, they do an orientation. We have a really good orientation for the parents when they come, as well as the students. And so that seems to help. And then if it doesn't work, you know, sometimes it just isn't a good match. We always have the opportunity of moving to another family. We've done that very successfully. For both the family that you know, that was the first family and the second family. It's worked really well, actually. And we figure the, like maybe something like 1 in 5 or 1 in 6 students might not match. We figure that's way better than the divorce rate, and all they get is a newspapers to read about their students. So we figured that's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Rotary, yeah, similarly.
One of the things that go ahead, Will.
Will, go ahead. I guess
at Rotary, we also have multiple adults. You know, each student is assigned what we call a counselor that you know, is the regular sounding board. And then my role is YEO, is a little, you know, multiple levels so that hopefully the student has somebody they feel comfortable talking to. If it's not the host family, then it's somebody in the club. And if it's not somebody in the club, then it's somebody at school. But it can be challenging. You know, different cultures have different languages for talking about stress and mental health. And there's a lot of listening involved that's a big part of communication, is trying to figure it out exactly what the student needs and when they need it.
Sure. Mitch, do you have thoughts?
Yeah, a thought is, and it's going to say thank you to all the host families that we've had in the whole community. And from the numbers that we've looked at with AFS and YFU and the Heritage Group and Rotary, these communities we have here, our Central Peninsula communities, are very well. I think we get more exchange students per capita than just about any other community in the country. I know Kenai Central High School got an award from AFS for like, you know, beating as a percentage wise. Most other high schools, or all high schools in the country.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's, what do you think, Eileen? What do you think?
I don't know. I just think people, once they've tried it and they really like it, they talk about it. And then there's other families that I said, that's sort of an interesting idea. And the kids, I think the kids at the high school think, you know, they interact with the students. And so I think there's interest coming home from the high school to the families too. I don't know. We're just lucky, I think.
Yeah, I think it's all due to the host families. And at the Kenai Peninsula College, we have a goal to internationalize our campus. And it's really hard for a community college with a really small student body. And that's the advantage that the high school programs have, is that you have a support, a friends group of all these international students from different programs.
Oh, right. Yes.
And they support each other. I hear stories, and I've seen it, where they all go and they have lunch together, to the point. And you know things are going well when halfway through the year, you get comments from saying, I don't want to sit with the international students anymore. I want to sit with my friends at lunch. And that's a great transition. The college, we do have some international students, but they tend to be much older. They tend to be people in their 30s. Who are looking for a job improvement, and they're Alaska residents. So we don't have as much chance for the early 20s students to interact. And I've always tried to incorporate them with the AFS or the Rotary group, but I think sometimes there's too much of an age difference. Even though we had a student last year that lived in the same neighborhood as one of Eileen's students, and they had a chance to talk a couple of times. So that was kind of, and they were both from like Germany.
What do you mean internationalize the KPC campus? What does that mean?
It's to bring diversity onto the campus. And that's kind of our goal, is that we would like to have, you know, KPC has had a student from Africa before, and we have a couple of great nursing students that are in the nursing program that are from Hong Kong and Taiwan. And these are not through programs. They just come over as resident aliens, I guess, would be. They're here under a visa, and they're living here in the community.
Do students do the process technology and paramedic programs that KPC is kind of known locally for as well?
Some of those are very competitive to get in, and we had it's kind of like applying for grants. I've applied for a number of ways to try to get other students. I had a great line on getting some, like, 4 students from Tunisia to go into the process tech program. And we had gotten the program director to okay it. and it was a lull in enrollment, and we were going to house them at the KPC dormitories, and we didn't get that bid, and then COVID hit. Yeah, you know, we can blame everything on COVID. We're just going to have to stop doing that.
We can and we will.
But that's kind of that. But it's a different experience. But I think they miss out on not having other exchange students. But it's easy because we have Germans, and I think Germans are pretty resilient and very adaptable, and they're not always that stoic. By the way, a lot of them are very fun, very fun loving.
So, I'd love to talk a little bit about this upcoming year and some of the protocols, without delving in too deep, some of the ways that these programs are going to kind of look and what's going to be different maybe and what they're going to be able to do. So Eileen, I know you are still, I know all of it is still in flux and there's still so many things that could change, but right now, what is this upcoming year going to look like for the program, and when are you expecting kids and who are you expecting?
So right now we actually have 3 students, which is neat. And I think it's a little bit more difficult finding families this year, but we have 2 students from Thailand, which is really unusual, but one's going to be in Soldat and one's going to be in Kenai. And we have our student from Latvia. And so I am hoping that we get some more families who would like to, particularly so we can get more sponsor program students that'll fit in that little cluster that we're supposed to have. But they usually come about like the 11th or 12th of August. And
these are high schoolers.
These are high schoolers. And before then, we meet with all the families and we go through, you know, everything that they want to know and try to do things so they get ready. And then when the students come, we almost immediately have an orientation with the students. And so then they're here. And so usually we'd like to have like 4 to 6. We've had 8, which is a lot. We've had 7 and 8, which is a lot. It still is wonderful, but you know, we'd like to have at least 4 and maybe 5. And then they're here, and then we usually do some sort of an activity in December for the kids too. And then eventually one of our goals is to have our annual dinner, which is actually very fun because we have it in March, and the students are the entertainment. They talk about their families, which as well as the waiters, as well as, and the host family siblings help with that too. And actually it's very fun. And then we cook all the food too. So the food is from the country. So we may have a lot of Thai food this year. I don't know.
Ooh, yeah.
And actually the student from Thailand, I think her family is Korean too. So we have a mixture there, and then we have like a silent auction. That's a really, really fun. And the community comes in and it's inexpensive and it's fun. And so that's one of the things that we do. And there's an orientation that we do. And then there's an orientation for all the Alaskan students that aren't in the Junosuke area. So like Fairbanks, Anchorage and Manuska Valley, they all get together for a weekend, another orientation. So,
And so 3 students, you mentioned that last year you had 7 students, was it? Mm-hmm. So is it, you know, are you just thinking that is 7 pretty normal? Or is that a big year for students? How many?
That's a little more. Usually I think 4 or 5 is usually what we have. But you know, if there are families that are really interested, then, you know, then we help find students for them.
Sure. And you said you think it might be a little harder to find host families this year. Is that just because people are still adjusting?
And maybe because of the COVID-19 too. So,
well, if someone is interested in being a host family, how do they sign up?
They can call me. I asked my daughter. She said that would be fine for me to give you a phone number. Should I do it on air?
Go for it.
Okay. 907-690-2779. 1 second. I have to answer my door.
Sure. And that's how you reach Eileen for hosting students. And Mitch, how many students are you expecting, and are you looking for host families?
We are expecting 1 student for sure. We always ask for 2, and sometimes we get 2. I think through the CBYX program, Congress Bundestag, they have a certain allocation, and I think it's like 30 or 40 for the whole, for that particular program. So we may get two, we may get, but definitely we'll get one. This year, the student is going to be, we were asked if we would be interested in doing an internship, full-time student intern. And that's going to be, that'll be fun. It'll be challenging for us at the college. Essentially, the student comes in, does full-time classes. So they're going to be taking 12 credits. Most of our students were only taking 3 to 4 credits as a part-time student, sometimes 6. So full 12 credit and for the first half of this year. And the second half, they go with our help, go find an internship in the profession that they're looking to move into. Like I said, most of them do have a, we had one gal that was a nurse. We had one gal that was a funeral director. It was great. She got a really nice job in Germany, making funeral arrangements for Germans and Americans who passed away in their non-respective countries. And it was her time here at KPC that made her get this wonderful job of consoling families, making arrangements, and shipping bodies back and forth. Very morbid, but she was really important. And we don't think about this, by the way. Now, it's the furthest things from our mind. Yes, we're looking. We have some inquiries. And it's always good to have more than just one. I shouldn't say that because we have some backup families that we can go to. And then I promote all the programs, Rotary program and AFS, and a lot of the families we get are folks that were former AFS families who wanted something different. You know, where maybe their own kids left and now they're looking for a college student. So it's as I tell Eileen, we don't really compete against each other. We're just kind of more helping each other out as much as we can. So anyway, to reach me, you can call up the college. Some people don't read the signboard at KPC that has my phone number on it, or some of the notices that show up on KDLL. Usually there's one that shows up and on some of the other media outlets. But my number is 907-252-5350. And I'm more than willing to tell you all the wonderful things that will happen when you accept an exchange student into your home.
Great. And we only have a couple minutes left, but I guess I would just ask, you know, what are your guys'
pitch for the coming year?
Sorry?
Can I give my pitch for the coming year?
Please, yes, yeah. Please give your pitch and tell people when they can host.
Yeah, even though exchanges are suspended, we're still doing the background work, and we always want to increase our network of host families. Like I said, Rotary breaks up the exchange between 3 different host families, so it's a 3.5-month commitment rather than a full year, so that might be something different. And then we also start, you know, this spring and next fall recruiting for our next outbound student who would go overseas from 2022 to 23. And you can reach me if you go to soldatnarotary.org. There's a list of club contacts on that page, and I think you click on me and you can get my email there. Or if someone wants to talk about hosting or being an exchange student, I'm at 907-398-2814.
Great. Thank you. I'm wondering if there's anything that any of you guys are working on in regards to your programs about that will be different going forward, or if there's anything, you know, that you're looking forward to, if there's any plans to kind of expand the programs or change anything. If I guess what I'm asking is what are these programs going to be like going forward? Are there any kind of changes you're expecting that you want to share? Anything that you're feeling particularly excited about these exchange programs and about starting them back up again?
I guess I haven't talked about students going on exchanges too, because that's definitely available. And we don't have as many, and the students that have gone, it's been a wonderful experience for them. So that's something else that's I'm looking forward to see if we can find some more students that would like to go as well. And we have a little, that's another thing we use our money from. We use some of our money for the dinner for scholarships for students to go. Not a whole lot, but we're able to give some to them too.
So. Do you have anyone right now who's on deck to go soon?
We don't have anybody. And I'll be back in Alaska in by the 20th of April, because I've been in Portland all this time. So, and then, but that number will work no matter where. So if they're interested, they could call me about that too, because it's a great program.
Mitch, do you have any students who are doing the exchange in the opposite direction, who are going away from Kenai this upcoming year?
No, we don't. And we've never done that. And it would be, I have contacted Cultural Vistas, who I work with in New York, and they do have an exchange. And I do post it at the KPC, you know, website that if you're interested in doing an exchange, please contact us. And you know, for Alaskans, we don't have a lot of travelers. My daughter did a short-term program with AFS. She did a summer program, which was really, really interesting. She went to Paris and spent half the day learning French and the other half day learning how to cook, which was a really bizarre, not a bizarre program, I should say. It was a unique program. And there's a lot of different options. And I think that's what everybody's doing now. But I'm really excited about the idea of having an intern. That's what I'm excited about.
Great. Well, we're coming up on the top of the hour, so we'll leave it here. But huge thank you to our guests. We have Will Morrow, Eileen Bryson, and Mitch Michaud. And you can find this conversation online later at kdll.org. This is Kenai Conversation. Thanks for tuning in.
We're clear.